Welcome to Public Health Matters with Dr. Christina M. Madison, the founder and CEO of the Public Health Pharmacist, PLLC, a public health consulting firm. She is passionate about spreading knowledge on public health in order to create healthier and happier communities.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Public Health Matters. I am your host, Dr. Christina Madison, also known as the Public Health Pharmacist. I'm excited to welcome another like-minded pharmacist, public health and vaccine advocate for us today, Dr. Casey Vilhauer of VaxiTaxi. So the name is as cute as she is. So I'm so excited to welcome her today. And I have been fortunate enough to see the amazing success of this venture throughout the pandemic. And so excited to see her professional success. We initially connected through a mutual friend. At the time it was just an idea. You were just getting started and now you're in multiple states. And with that, I will let you go ahead and tell our audience a little bit about yourself, and then we will dive into some questions.
I was trying to think back to when we first met, and it has been a couple years. It just, time flies, especially during the pandemic. So yeah, that is great. Thank you for that introduction. I started VaxiTaxi, as you know, a few years ago, and it started just with the simple focus of concierge vaccine delivery. Super simple concept and something that really wasn't being done on a large scale for a lot of obvious reasons, such as there's not payment for that service. And it's a market that, it's a tougher market to get into. But when COVID happened, it became very apparent that VaxiTaxi was going to be well accepted by our cash paying concierge clients, and as well as a place where we could do something really important for the underserved populations where there wasn't already a network of bringing vaccines to those patients. So it kind of just took off from there when COVID vaccines rolled out. And a few months into COVID vaccines, after we had been collecting med histories and working with the patients in their space, we realized we really need to get back to our roots and focus on a complete immunization history and bringing those patients all of their vaccines not that they're missing out on, not just their COVID. And then again, we picked up steam from there, realizing that there's so many pharmacists that want to do this service. There's pharmacies and pharmacy associations on board with it, and there's patients that need it. So long story short, it snowballed.
Wow. Well, that's very exciting. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about how you decided to get into this work? Did you already have a background in administering vaccinations and then decide to, do it with the mobile model, or kind of what was the, aha moment and sort of how did you develop the idea around VaxiTaxi?
Yep. So it's twofold. One, I worked retail for a large chain for about 10 years. And in that time, any pharmacist working in a community pharmacy knows that you have your homebound patients. And these are the patients that you never see or never have seen because they get their meds delivered. Even before there were services specifically designated to that, we were sending meds in yellow taxi cabs to patients' homes, and that's how they had their medication delivered. When it came to vaccines, they were just out of luck. If they didn't have a regularly scheduled doctor's appointment in the cold and flu season, they just missed those vaccines. So we'll have 65-year-old patients that haven't had a flu vaccine in 12 years. And that, it tugs at your heartstrings because you know that there's no other way unless you go to them. So, you know, we had those patients identified. It's a problem. It's known. Then the other part is my own child, my own daughter, being incredibly needle phobic, would start fretting about her upcoming flu vaccine 11 months in advance. You know, it was like 1 month after her yearly shot that she would start fretting about the next one. And she would get herself so worked up that my husband and I just thought there has to be this is ridiculous. There has to be a better way to just get over that hump. And 1 year we did her vaccine at our house. You know, my husband was sitting with her on the couch, kind of, you know, cuddling with her hard while she was playing on her iPad. And I just reached over the back of the couch and gave her a shot, and it was over. And there was no workup. There was no, she wasn't upset. There was no adrenaline, and it was easy. And like, that is what it took for her to get over the fact that the shots aren't that bad. She just needed that one event that helped her get her over that fear. And so both of those things together, you know, in telling my friends about my daughter's appointment, we had in the first like week of existence, you know, I had a lot of families already signed up for the service. So it was something that came about from multiple events.
So can you tell us a little bit about what your current service line is? I know that you started off with, you know, obviously with your daughter and flu, and it sounds like maybe a little bit of like pneumonia vaccines, but like, what are you, what's your like full complement of services? Cause you know, for me, you know, I do a lot with vaccinations within clinical practices. So I practice in a primary care clinic. I also help out a few nonprofits. And so I work very closely with the health department and through access to vaccines from the state. So I'm curious, you know, because you are a for-profit business, how that's a little bit different. Because, you know, when I do my clinics, they're all pop-ups and they're, you know, sponsored from the state. So I'm getting, you know, vaccine for uninsured and underinsured patients or for through the VFC program, which is the Vaccines for Children's program.
You know, I think one of the driving forces behind VaxiTaxi, and that kind of sets it apart from different other organizations that are trying to bring about vaccine access, is that it has to be sustainable. Like, it has to have a future because it needs a future. And, you know, COVID clearly showed us that. And, you know, our goal is to have a model that is sustainable. And when I look at things like, we know there's patients that want the service, we know there's patients that need the service, we know that there's pharmacists that would love to provide the service, what is the actual problem? Like, why, what is actually standing in the way of us doing that then? There's a need and there's a way to fill it. And it comes down to payment. It always comes down to payment. And frankly, if there's not payment for the service, it's not going to be sustainable. And it's really hard when something like a pandemic hits and you have to put so much pressure on your nonprofits and your public health departments and things like that, because there wasn't another network to utilize. So it is really important to me that our service is sustainable. And so that means bringing vaccines to patients' homes, and not just a few vaccines, but all of the vaccines. And we could get some, you know, pushback saying like we're overstepping our bounds or our rules, but that has not been the case whatsoever. We've had so many physician referrals, clinic referrals. Clinics bring us into their office to do vaccines if they don't have all the vaccines in stock. There's been absolutely zero pushback for our service on vaccines. The other thing we're doing is, and again, these are so simple. These are such simple things, but like the COVID-19 home test. You know, we mailed out tests, or, you know, the government mailed out tests, people got tests, but so many people don't understand how to use those tests. And, you know, I don't know if you've pulled out one of the package inserts, but, you know, it's like a full-size roadmap from the 90s. And it's teeny tiny print. It's extremely confusing. It involves an incredible amount of dexterity to actually use the product. And then you get your results, and the what to do's are also not clear. So when we were bringing OTC tests to patients' homes, we were explaining to them in person, we were opening up the box, showing them what to do, taking all of that information into three key points on how do you actually use this. Because if you're not going to use it right, or you're not going to use it at all, it literally does no good. And, you know, for patients that have poor dexterity and even poor medical literacy, or that was huge too, because there's, you know, these sentences are five run-on sentences put together, and that's really difficult to understand. So the OTC guidance and consult in patients' homes has also been a hit.
That's fantastic. I'm so happy that you've been able to, you know, really meet the needs of the community. You know, from my standpoint, I really appreciate the fact that you're really looking at this through an equitable lens. So I don't know if you want to maybe talk a little bit about sort of the underserved populations that you've been able to help with your services, and maybe talk a little bit more about sort of the landscape of where you're practicing. And then also, I know that you've expanded to other states and you've had other pharmacists now come on with VaxiTaxi. And then I also have another question about like storage and handling and all that stuff, since I know that's something that people are probably like, well, how does she like get access to all of these things? Especially if they're thinking about, you know, having a VaxiTaxi in their own town.
Right. So let's start with that equitable question and my thoughts on that. You know, because there's very little grant funding for for-profit organizations. And again, sustainability is the focus, not just for the business, but for the profession. There are so many pharmacists that would be amazing at this job, and there's so many things we can add to our service while we're there that would be incredibly beneficial for patients, for health systems, for, you know, for all of us, essentially. And that's why, again, sustainability is so important. Unfortunately, to have a sustainable business, first and foremost, you know, we need payments. And that is not coming from insurers of underserved populations. It's been something that, you know, there we have received a lot of pushback, unfortunately. And again, that just, you know, furthers the gap in health equity. And so we as a business have to be in a place where we have a sustainable model, we have it rolled out, and then we have a way to connect our network with the payers that actually want to see access and vaccines in their populations. It's definitely easy to see where we're needed in the underserved populations, and COVID did something that hasn't happened in decades, which was the federal government dropped all the restrictions on which pharmacies patients could use. So essentially they said, you know, we need access across the country. What is the quickest way to do that? Well, that is to let patients go anywhere they want to get a vaccine. And that's incredible. That was a dream for pharmacies, because you no longer had certain companies telling their patient that, I know you live two blocks from an independent pharmacy, but we're gonna need you to drive 5 miles to one of our in-network facilities. And that's just, it's absurd. It's absurd to prevent preventative care. And I will preach that every day. But COVID was great for that reason. There were no network restrictions, and there was full price transparency on what the pharmacies were going to get paid, and every pharmacy got the same. You can actually run a sustainable business when you know what your selling price is of your product. That doesn't happen in healthcare ever, and it definitely doesn't happen in pharmacy. So the fact that that happened, it allowed independent pharmacies, and you know, we've seen the stories in the Times and the Washington Post and all over of like these independent pharmacies doing incredible things with, you know, doing so many shots. Well, COVID gave them the ability to forecast what they were going to do and what they needed to staff it. And again, it's a pharmacy dream. So beyond the network restrictions, beyond the price transparency, the other thing the federal government did was it allowed pharmacies to bill Medicare B for vaccine delivery. Again, that's never happened. And that's incredible proof that this service is needed and what payment will actually get providers to do that service. You know, I think as a profession, we need to ask and keep asking, why are the other vaccines not this important? Because it doesn't really do a lot of good for our elderly and homebound to get their COVID vaccines and be protected from COVID when they don't have a flu vaccine, they don't have a pneumonia vaccine. It's not helpful. It's not complete healthcare. How about that? And you know,
I hear you. I hear you. I'm over here like snapping, like yeah. I'm like, yes, queen, sing it. You know, like I yeah. I mean, I deal with very vulnerable populations, so you're preaching to the choir, sister.
Great. So I think, you know, that is really, really what we need to be highlighting as a profession right now. Like when we were needed and when access was a focus, this happened. This is what we needed to do. The whole country is behind on routine immunizations right now. And, you know, it's being predicted that we're going to have a tough fall. The last thing I read. And so it's the access issue has not gone away, and it's been there for decades. So why the federal government doesn't also require commercial payers and Medicaid to pay a delivery fee, I don't know, because those are the patients that are, you know, are home. They still don't have access. They didn't 2 years ago, and they don't now. So those are things that I feel like would be really, really important for the profession to focus on right now. Again, all for sustainability. Because as soon as you have companies that can do what Vaxi Taxi is doing, it's going to fix so many of our access issues. And that's capitalism, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's why, like, I'm so big on, you know, supporting these public-private partnerships, right? And so I literally just wrote an article for Pharmacy Times talking about how the partnerships between public health departments and pharmacies and the federal pharmacy program literally is the, you know, the way that we're going to increase the scope of practice for our profession. We saw how well it worked. So why are we not thinking about, you know, how do we think outside the pill box, right? And how do we start thinking about other means for delivery of services that can be either piggybacked on or, you know, or collaborated with in addition to this pandemic model? And so, you know, for me, if it was, you know, if it was up to me, I would, you know, I would advocate for there being a pharmacist in every health department in the country, and that those grant funds, which we know are coming into public health departments, can be utilized to be able to collaborate with you know, for-profit companies like yourself in order to act as an extension of public health services, because we know that the government, right, is not flexible and they're not nimble. So that we do, when we do have these instances where we need to ramp up services quickly, we can do it because we partnered with organizations that have the ability to do that, like yours. So again, I think it goes back to, you know, what is good for the profession, what is good for the people, and, you know, what is good for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And so I fully agree with you that the payment situation is the crux of a lot of our issues. But I think when we start looking at, you know, ways to partner with governmental agencies, and ways that we can, you know, submit things like, you know, RFPs, as well as like going to HRSA and, you know, developing these non-traditional models of healthcare delivery by going to the people, right? Meeting people where they are. Because when you prioritize preventative care, that's when you see people not accessing the healthcare system when it becomes an acute issue, and costing the healthcare system more money. So it's like, if we can prioritize spending a little money up front, then we actually end up saving money on the back end.
Right. And I have so much appreciation for like my local county public health department and our state department of health, because they, you know, we Vaccine Taxi pitched the idea. They were looking for ideas. We pitched the idea of, this is what we can do, this is how we can help. And they were extremely receptive, both of them. And so, you know, we did have some of those really key partnerships, but it felt great, right? Because we took a really time consuming task off their plate so that they could focus on the bigger COVID issues. I mean, they were dealing with so much, you know, as you know, like things way beyond the scope of pharmacy, even, that it just, the patients that we were helping, it was a very time consuming group, and it felt good to take that off their plate. And at the end of the day, you know, we were paid a fair wage. No, none of our pharmacists are getting rich. Nobody is making any like crazy amounts of money, nothing like that. The pharmacist, and this is a shift in the profession, I think, that they just want a job that pays a fair wage, uses their skills, and they feel good about at the end of the day. You know, we're not asking for any like absurd amounts of money to do home deliveries by any means. It's just having the data to show how important it is for, like I said, Medicaid and commercial payers.
Well, you know, I want to applaud you for the work that you're doing, and the fact that, you know, most people, like, they have an idea and they think they can do it, but they don't take it to fruition. And I'm just so like proud that you've been able to, like, you know, live with intention. You set yourself on a goal and you've been able to achieve it. And I know you've been recognized for your work, and, you know, just really want to applaud you for not just keeping it to yourself, but also, you know, involving others and really being able to spread the word about the good work that you're doing, and that it can be profitable, as well as beneficial to the communities that you serve. So thank you so much again, Casey, for your time. And I really just, again, want to just say, you know, the work that you're doing is so important. If people want to find you, or if they want to find out more information about Vaxi Taxi or ways that they can partner with you, where can people find you?
Yep. Our website is the best place. And so it's VaxiTaxi.com, which is VaxiTaxi.com. And we are looking, we do want to share the information that we have. We do want to make it available for other pharmacists and other pharmacies. And I would love to be in contact with the people that are interested in doing that. So keep an eye on our job boards, keep an eye on our openings for, you know, new markets, and check back frequently.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much again for being on the podcast. I am your host, Dr. Christina Madison. You can find me on your favorite social media platform at The Public Health Pharmacist. And remember, public health matters.
Stay safe, be well, and remember, public health matters.